podcast in the world. Blue Metal Socket is the very best podcast in the whole wide world. Let's start the show.
Hello and welcome to Full Metal Slacket, the official podcast for the bracket-style tournaments about movie and TV-related topics hosted by the Slack community of the Filmcast podcast. Hello, I am not with Patrick. I am not Patrick. And we, instead of Patrick, there's Paul.
Hello.
How are you, Paul?
I'm doing well.
And we have producer Jason here as well. Hello, producer Jason.
Hello, host Pow.
So we have round two results, predictions, everything. But before we get to any of that, I checked the email. There is no emails. The last emails we got was in March, and it was from Patrick. So no new emails. But we did get a voicemail also from Patrick. So, producer Jason.
Yeah, let's take a listen.
Hello and greetings from the Netherlands. I'm sitting this episode out, but that doesn't mean that I can't send in one voice message with a few comments. So first of all, I hope you're having a great episode. I'm sure you're doing well. Then I did the quiz and I did surprisingly well, 19 out of 23 points. So not bad, not bad. And since I assume you're playing this at the start of the episode, I don't want to spoil too much, but I want to say I'm upset about some of the results in the matches, and I'm quite happy with some of the results from the predictions. So you win some, you lose some. It's a slacket. Bye.
Thank you, Patrick. Actually, this is a great segue because he talks about already about our topic of the week, but we're going to get there. But he did very well. I'm actually not sure. Well, I don't know, Paul, how you feel about the Mission Impossible movies, but I'm not sure how I am going to do. But 19 out of 23 is very good.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah. So before we get actually to the topic of the week, Slacket Duty. Do your duty. Paul, what have you been watching for this Slacket?
I have not been watching anything for this Slacket, but I did listen to Blank Check audio commentaries of all the Mission Impossible movies while I was building my porch. So I couldn't really watch movies while building a porch, but I can listen to podcasts while I'm building a porch. And so I listened to people talking about Mission Impossible movies. So I hope that helps on the quiz. And it reminded me of how good the Mission Impossible movies are. So that was also fun.
When was the last time you watched them?
Probably over a year ago. I think I did a rewatch of all of them at that point.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Jace, do you have any Slacket duty?
I have not watched almost any movies in a very long time. Not sure why. I rewatched.
Are you broken?
I feel a little broken. I was looking at my Letterboxd diary and it's like maybe 10 movies in the last month and a half or so. So that's kind of wild for my normal pace. But, I rewatched Into the Spider-Verse to prepare for the other one. It's not really, you know, we don't consider those in the bracket, so I'm not sure it's worth bringing up as far as the duty goes, but I do love that, and I continue to love it.
Yeah, I didn't do any duty this week. Last week, I did like 3 or 4 movies, but this week, I guess if you count Across the Spider-Verse, I watched that. I watched The Little Mermaid. I don't know. It has some action there, you know?
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I only had like 3 blind spots on the 64 bracket list, and I think they all went out in the first round or something. So not a lot of duty to do.
Yeah, I have more duty to do. I still have like 13 movies or something to
watch. I love how much we say duty in these segments. It's great.
I think the duty I said I was going to do was Police Story. But I haven't gotten to that duty yet. And now it's already out of the bracket. So will I bother? We'll see.
Unlikely.
Wow.
Hey, if I were you, that's,
yeah. That's you call him like you see him, and I think you're right.
I think you still haven't watched Little Women, the new one that I told you to watch. So
no, action packed that one.
Yeah, very, very.
Best duty.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's get to the topic of the week, and it's two parts. First, it's just Paul telling us what he loves the most in his actual movies, and then the quiz, the Mission Impossible quiz that Patrick talked about. So, Paul, go.
My favorite action movies. A lot of them are represented well on this slacket, but Aliens and The Fifth Element in the Aliens Do Action 2 category are definitely up there for me. The Matrix, Terminator 2, Fury Road, all those classics. And then as far as the franchises, so the big ones for me, the Mission Impossible movies, especially the last three are some of the best. That's why we had to get as many Mission Impossible movies into the bracket as possible. And then the John Wick movies and the Fast and Furious movies. And we'll talk about later about how all those movies did in the bracket.
If you had to choose between one of the franchises.
Mission Impossible.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. Me too. Okay. Producer Jason, we're ready for you.
All right. So we're going to do a quiz about the Mission Impossible movies that we just mentioned. And this quiz is available for folks who are listening. So if you haven't taken it and you want to, you can visit the link in the show notes or in the channel and do it yourself first before all of the answers are spoiled for you. Now, the way the quiz works, there's 23 questions. Each one describes a scene in a movie. And then the choices are in the notes for you there in random order so as not to give their order away.
I was wondering why. I was like, why are they all in a weird order? So nervous.
Let's get started.
I never know what is what in these movies.
I will also say the context here is that, you know, Paul has said many times he believes these movies feel very distinct, which I believe that for him they are. So I expect him to do very well on this quiz. And I'm not sure that would necessarily prove that most people think that they are distinct, although the responses we've gotten so far have been pretty good. So we'll talk about that afterwards. All right.
Okay.
So, number one, chasing a mole within the IMF, Ethan tracks down an arms dealer named Max, who uses the Bible verse Job 3:14 as a clue to their whereabouts.
This is one of the first three. I think it's like...
I was really worried you were just going to stop the question after Ethan chases a mole within the IMF. I was thinking, oh, that could be any of them.
Yeah, but, I had to be careful. Yeah. I had to double check a lot of questions around that exact problem.
Yeah, but then you got much more specific. And so I'm pretty confident I know the answer to this one. Do you want to take a stab at it, Pat?
It's, what did you say? He quotes a Bible?
Yeah. The arms dealer is named Max, who uses the Bible verse Job 3:14 as a clue to their whereabouts.
Is it one? I think it's one.
Yeah, it's one.
Yeah.
All right.
It's what his name. Yeah, John
so
Boyd.
You've guessed one. All right. Moving on. Next one. Ethan Hunt is involved in a brutal fist fight on a beach where he ultimately kicks a gun up from the sand into his hands.
Yeah, that's the one with the guy who was going to be Wolverine, who's not Wolverine, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's two or three. I think that's maybe that's three.
No, it's two.
It's two. Okay.
Yeah, that's okay. The John Woo one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question. Lawrence Fishburne appears as IMF director Theodore Brassel.
Let's go with three.
Yeah, that's three.
Oh, wow. That's a complete step.
Next one, an IMF agent named Jack is killed by a moving elevator inside of an elevator shaft.
That's one.
Yeah, that's Emilio Estevez.
One. Yes, Gordon Bombay.
Yeah.
Use his real name. I mean, Emilio Estevez is not his real name either. Fun fact.
No, isn't it his real name? Because Sheen is not their name. Yeah,
he's right. Yeah. It's Charlie Sheen who's Charlie Carlos Estevez or something.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right. Yeah. Got me. Next, Ethan Hunt fights terrorist Kurt Hendricks, Michael Nyquist, inside of some kind of multi-leveled garage full of cars that move up and down on platforms, both struggling for a silver nuclear-armed briefcase.
Okay, I know this because we just, I think this is four. This is Ghost Protocol.
This is Ghost Pro, number four.
I was going to say, what's four? I don't
yeah, sorry. Ghost Protocol.
Next, Josh Holloway appears as IMF agent Trevor Hanaway, only to be assassinated.
Yeah, I also just watched this. This is also Ghost Protocol 4.
Yeah. Yeah, I almost thought, you know, Josh Holloway, that's... he would be in the J.J. Abrams one, right? Because he's a law school alumni. But nope, he's in Ghost Protocol.
I don't know which director did what, so.
After extremist John Lark is killed in a fight, Ethan Hunt poses as him without a mask to preserve his meeting with arms dealer Alana Mitsopoulos, Vanessa Kirby.
Oh, so Vanessa Kirby comes later. These are the ones that I don't know. I will say Fallout.
Yep, it's Fallout. And so it's kind of a tricky question because the guy who was John Lark that died wasn't actually the real John Lark. But that was the premise at that point in the movie. Yeah, Fallout.
Oh, wow. You're like an encyclopedia. Also, you could just be lying to us and just saying, sounding very confident.
Yeah, I do. I'm worried that I will get one of these wrong while sounding really confident about it.
So. Let's keep going. A terrorist organization known as the Syndicate infiltrates the IMF and kidnaps Ethan Hunt by hijacking the IMF mission assignment protocol and trapping him in a record listening booth.
I think this is Rogue Nation?
Yeah, Rogue Nation.
Okay.
Next, while in Berlin, Luther Stickle, Ving Rhames, is taken hostage by a terrorist group known as the Apostles.
I don't know.
I think this is Fallout.
Okay.
Fallout. Okay. Next up, Ethan breaks up an assassination attempt on the Austrian Chancellor during a performance at the Vienna Opera House.
This is... Like, I remember the scene, but... I think this is also Fallout.
I think this one... is Rogue Nation.
Rogue Nation.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, you good?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You're not saying anything, Jason.
No, yeah. Of course. Next, Ethan Hunt is chased through the streets of Paris on a motorcycle circling the Arc de Triomphe.
This is Fallout.
Yeah, no? That's Fallout.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ilsa Faust, Rebecca Ferguson, is working undercover when she first meets Ethan Hunt.
This is...
Did you cut out, pal?
No, I'm just thinking. I'm trying to remember when do we first meet her. Cause we see her a few times, so
yeah.
I think maybe this is like Ghost Protocol.
No, it's Rogue Nation.
It's Rogue Nation. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I didn't see her in Ghost. Okay. Mm-hmm. She's right. Only been in two movies? Wow.
She's only been in two, yeah, so far.
All right. Ethan Hunt instructs his team to give real nuclear launch codes to a known terrorist in exchange for diamonds.
This is Ghost Protocol.
Oh, yeah. That is Ghost Protocol.
Yeah. Paula Patton pretends to be the diamonds lady.
Having just watched it, like mm-hmm. 4 days ago, it's a little bit like that was one that sounded like Paul may not have had right on the
top. Well, yeah, just the nuclear stuff. I was thinking Fallout, but then yeah, with the diamonds, I realized no. Okay.
Next up, analyst William Brandt, Jeremy Renner, is maneuvered over a large fan using a suit made of magnets. And a drone robot piloted by Benji Dunn, Simon Pegg.
That's Ghost Protocol too.
Yeah, that's Ghost Protocol as well. But the magnet shirt.
Okay, we're coming up on the last few here. Ethan and team use a camera and screen device to mimic a hallway so that a security guard at the other end of the hallway won't see them as they break into a room from inside that hall behind the screen. The device uses eye tracking to keep the angles of the fake image in place.
I love this. This is Ghost Protocol.
Yeah.
And then you see Simon's big, huge face at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine.
One of my favorite scenes. The Chesapeake Bay Bridge is blown up by missiles, freeing a recently captured arms dealer from his armored transport.
I have no idea.
This one's 3.
Mission Impossible 3, you say?
Yep. Yeah. Mission Impossible 3.
You got it. All right. CIA agent August Walker, Henry Cavill, quote unquote, reloads his arms during a massive fight scene that takes place in a public restroom.
This is Fallout.
Yeah. Agreed. Fallout.
Okay. Ethan Hunt is free solo rock climbing when he receives a patented should you choose to accept it mission assignment.
I mean, I know it's the beginning of the movie. This is like 2 or 3 or something?
It's 2.
It's 2. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, how many more do we have? Oh, God. 5. There's 5 left. All right.
5
Ethan's
left.
Love interest, Julia, played by Michelle Monaghan, appears to be shot in the head by arms dealer Owen Davian, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
This is 3.
Yeah, that's 3.
A scientist injects himself with a supervirus as a unique method to safely transport it.
And you just thought about the Americans, but that's different thing. I don't know. I don't know this one.
That's 2. The scientist is Tandaway Newton.
Oh, yes, I remember her.
Next, 2 different characters at 2 different times wear an Ethan Hunt mask. Once to trick a lover into revealing her disloyalty, and once to trick the bad guy into killing, quote unquote, Ethan.
This is 1.
No.
It's 2. No? It's 2? Okay.
Yeah.
So you're going with 2?
I trust Paul, but... He sounds very confident. I don't know. I think he's wrong.
Wow.
We needed to. You needed to do 2 browsers so that we could disagree on this one.
It's true. It's true. Yeah. I decided not to do that. We can start over if you want. Just the listeners are screaming. Last 2. Ethan Hunt and team search for a biohazard called the Rabbit's Foot.
Biohazard, we just heard someone injected themselves with a virus, so I will say 2.
No, it's 3.
Crap.
Philip Seymour Hoffman is looking for the rabbit's foot.
Going with 3?
3.
Yes.
Okay, last one. Can't believe this is the last one. Ethan Hunt drops into a vault in the CIA headquarters in Langley, Virginia, barely avoiding touching the ground.
This is one.
Are you sure, pal?
Final answer. All right, drum roll, please. And I'll submit. And the answer, view score. 23 out of 23.
Yay! Wow. So job, Paul Beth. Is indeed correct with his knowledge.
Great job. Great job. The let's see. Our overall responses, so that's 14.
I think I would have done by myself okay too.
I think
you would have beat Patrick.
I think you were probably you seemed like you either didn't know or had an actual wrong answer for maybe like 4 or 5. So
yeah.
It's in that zone probably.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
The average is about 17 out of 23 of the 14 responses. Now, again, that's like self-selective because people mm-hmm. who are like, I love Mission Impossible were the ones who jumped in to answer the quiz. So the mode, though, is 10. Ooh. We had 4 people who got 10 out of 23.
Wow.
The rest are skewed pretty heavily towards the top of the range. So frequently missed questions would be the 2 different characters at 2 different times wearing an Ethan Hunt mask. Only 5 people got that right out of 14. Yeah. And the Josh Holloway appearance, only 6 people got that right.
Yeah, I mean, I think I only would have gotten it because I just watched it. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
And we talked about it. And
did anyone else get all of them right? 23 out of 23?
No.
All right.
Wow. Nice. 2 people got 22. 2 people got 21. Those are the top scores. So, yeah.
Nice.
I think we can move on. But, yeah, as a context there, I don't know how you feel about how those questions were. I wanted to avoid the he's jumping on a plane. I put a few of those, like the Langley one and a few, like there's a couple that are like, okay, these are obvious, but I didn't want them all to be that way. But I also didn't want it to like in a lot of cases, I felt like the actor name kind of gave it away.
Yeah.
But also I think that's okay. Cause for me, there are times where I was like, oh, right. The Philip Seymour Hoffman movie. And I'm like, I don't remember which one that is, but I know it's the Philip Seymour Hoffman one. And that's kind of my point. So yeah, I decided to put the actor name in for every single character.
Yeah. Except Thandi Newton.
Well, that actually wasn't her. The scientist that injects it is the guy. It's like the guy with the mustache, right. The Russian guy.
Yeah. Cause she injects herself later, but
correct. Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
I messed up that question. Nice. But we still get credit.
Thank you. I think we can say now for sure that for Paul, they are indeed distinct movies. And maybe for me now that I've rewatched them in the last year, a little more.
Yeah.
So let's get into results of round 2. I'll start reading some stuff and then I'll hand it out to you, Paul. So you also have things to do.
Sure thing.
30 people voted, so 1 more than last round. Great. And the closest matches was... Actually, there were not a lot of closest matches. I was looking at the bracket, and they were all pretty definite. But there was 1 tie. That's the closest. And so it went to the EC. And the tiebreak. So it was Top Gun Maverick versus The Rock. And they each had 14 votes each. And the EC voted without me because it was decided before I could even vote. To give it to Top Gun Maverick.
Boo.
Yay.
I had The Rock going through my predictions. I thought this Slack would have loved that one, but I guess, yeah. I don't know.
I don't remember what I had in the predictions, but Top Gun Maverick, it's so good.
Yeah, I mean, I love it, but that's why I thought it would go to The Rock. Right. Paul, what were the biggest blowouts?
Okay, so The Matrix beat Gladiator in a shutout, 30-0.
Damn. Which,
fair enough. Like, especially as an action movie, the Matrix over Gladiator, fair enough.
Makes sense.
Another landslide, Bourne Identity beat Top Gun OG, 28-2.
Yeah.
And last one, Fury Road, Mad Max Fury Road beat Hot Fuzz 26-4.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised Hot Fuzz even got 4 points in this one.
Fury Road.
Everybody loves Fury Road.
I mean, it beat True Lies, which I hate, but I thought everyone loved and thought of as like the quintessential action movie, or a quintessential action movie with Arnold and all that. So I was a little bit like, I wonder how maybe it's going to keep rolling. But yeah, I'm not surprised that Fury Road took it.
Yeah. Jace, you want to take what were the biggest upsets?
Sure. Yeah. So we had 43 seed Casino Royale keeps rolling, knocking out bracket favorite John Wick, 17-13. All John Wick movies are gone. This is like a Fast and Furious situation where we have potentially have a lot of, or a small number of very vocal fans who apparently are being drowned out by the majority of people who maybe don't like these movies as much. I don't think this is a case where John Wick just isn't thought of as action enough. So it's definitely not that. It really is just Casino, and it didn't come up against The Matrix or Die Hard or something. You know, Casino Royale is, I guess, maybe seated too low, probably, I would say, based on how it's doing. But also not, I don't think, anyone's favorite to win. So, interesting. Yeah.
I was surprised by this.
Yeah, that was really
Although I have Casino Royale actually going through, so maybe I was not that surprised.
Yeah, I guess, like, definitively you were not.
Yeah, at least at one time.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then the other upset here is 19 seed Ghost Protocol beating 14 seed RRR. So they're pretty close in the seeding, and it only won 16-13. So that feels like an upset in name only, potentially. Pretty close, but yeah. All three Mission Impossibles still in. All three that started are still in, which is what I brought up in the first one of the earlier episodes, that we have a bracket where, because of where they are placed, we actually could end up with Mission Impossible's like in like more than one in the final four, I think. So, and I think Patrick was like, oh yeah, but that'll never happen.
This one was hard for me to predict. I don't think I even had Ghost Protocol in the predictions. I had something else, but the RRR thing, I wasn't sure how much people were going to keep voting it through because, you know, recency bias. But again, I think it's just a lot of very vocal people that love it. But also maybe some people were saying it's more adventure, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, one person saying that.
But yeah, I thought maybe RRR had a chance to get far because it's like different than anything else in the bracket, you know.
Yeah, I think what we've learned time and time again in Slackets is the idea, and this is a thing that gets brought up by the film spotting people all the time. I think Josh always gets burned by this same exact problem, is that you think people might vote weirdly because there's multiple in the bracket, and they'll be like, oh, well, I'm going to vote for Fallout. Mm-hmm. So I won't vote for Protocol here, even though I like Protocol more, but I'm already voting for Fallout, so I don't want there to be multiple missions. No, nobody does that. Nobody cares. Once it's in the bracket, it's just every single matchup in isolation. Which one do I like more? That's the one I'm voting for. Or, you know, maybe whatever your criteria is, which one's more actiony, whatever. But it's not, oh, but there's more than one in the bracket. I don't think anyone's doing that. And so any kind of thought that might affect things, invalid.
Yeah, it makes sense. I remember, I think that it came up a lot when The Godfather was in, like, the two of them were there.
Yeah, and Toy Stories in the animation bracket, like, it's come up many times, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so which of your favorites are out, Paul?
Yeah, the John's Wick are my choice for this one. I like those John Wick movies, and they're all
goodbye,
gone now.
Jonathan Wick.
Yeah. I think my picks for which ones should have been in might have been a bit different. I really like the new one, 4, but I don't think it would have made any difference if different ones had gone in. They probably would have been out now anyway.
Yeah. Maybe this is one that is suffering from the spread of the love, right? Like, I think there's a lot of love for John Wick. But if you ask 10 people what their favorite one is, you'll get 4 different answers. So.
Okay, fair enough. I thought you were just saying that the thing you just said about people.
Yeah, more of a twist on maybe what actually can affect things, not necessarily like the other things.
What about you, Jace?
I love The Fugitive. We've talked about that at length. I'm not surprised it's gone, but I'm still sad to see it go. I think Top Gun, the OG Top Gun, is better than Top Gun Maverick in almost every way. To me, Top Gun Maverick is a Phantom Menace situation. Kind of just a rehash remake that is very good, very fun, but it doesn't exist without the gravitas of Top Gun. No, I love it. I rewatched it right before. I love it. And you know, you can say it's not an action movie. If you look up Top Gun in every possible place you can look it up, it's listed as an action or action adventure or action drama. But action's the one thing that's always there. So,
and the original Top Gun has Meg Ryan for like a second in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a huge plus.
Yep. I like the cast top to bottom of Top Gun much more than I probably could say the same about Maverick, at least to the same degree. The Rock should have won, and Die Hard with a Vengeance is very good, actually.
Yeah.
I've seen the notes, DH, so I've always told Jason I have trouble with acronyms. I never know what they mean. So I was like, I have no idea what that was.
I knew you would say that as soon as I wrote it, but I said, I'm leaving it anyway.
Yeah.
What about you, Pat?
That looks like designated hitter.wave. That's like audio file.
Or it's a baseball stat. Yeah. What's your DH wave?
Yeah.
For me, also The Fugitive, Winter Soldier. Like, I get it. It's like more superhero, I guess, than action for people. Oh, Benito
agrees.
And Minority Report. For some reason, I had written Mission Impossible, and I was like, "Wait, but it's not out. What do I mean?" And I checked it. I meant Minority Report. I just meant a different Tom Cruise thing.
Yes.
Yes. So that one I love. Benito's making crazy eyes. Predictions. Predictions.
Yeah.
Let's look at them. So we have a new last place, but it doesn't really count because it's the incomplete Die Hard bracket. And from what I understand, it probably will remain in last place going forward.
Yes. I
made no picks from this point out.
Correct. So yes. I do want to just take one last second to point out how funny it was that it was doing better than Eric's other bracket last week.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because that'll never be the case again, and so that's really sad. But that was I think one of my favorite Slack-It moments.
I think we can bring that up every week.
Yes, I like it.
Yeah. So the real last place. Go ahead. The actual last place, we have Jorgen with his bracket prediction, but is it action thinking emoji, the pedantics bracket.
How's that doing? How's the pedantic approach working?
He's in last place with 35 points. And now someone else go because Benito's going crazy.
Cool. So we'll talk about chalk. I made this one this time. It's the less chalk, more rock. In case you don't know what that is, chalk is a way to talk about betting odds. So we just take the highest seed in every matchup all the way through and choose it automatically just to see what the seeding is predicting. and it is predicting not well. It typically never finishes in the podium. That never has, I don't think. But sometimes when it's doing better, it'll be in the top half. And this time it's definitely right in the bottom half at 13th place.
It is, but there's still, what, 9 people below it. So,
Yeah, it's definitely possible to do worse, as Jorgen is showing us. We got in 10th place with 49 points, Mrs. Rogers.
It's me. You can tell action is not my strength. I think I'm overthinking what people, like the things I hate, and, you know, like, oh, people are going to love that because I don't like that, you know?
Yeah. It's hard. Right. It's hard.
Should I read this next one?
Yeah, go, please.
Yes, please.
Okay. In fourth place, we've got Paulie's action-packed Slack-It prediction with a long title that he wonders if Paola and Patrick will read all of when they read the name of his prediction on the Full Metal Slack-It podcast. And that's me. I'm in fourth place with 53.
And the answer is no to that question, because Patrick and Paola did not read it.
Yeah.
Yes.
All did.
This week, Paul read it.
Well done.
Which I have to say, you're only 4 points above me, and it's a 6th place difference. Yeah. So I guess I'm not doing that bad.
Yeah, tightly packed for now.
Later rounds worth more points. Yeah. Catch up. We'll see.
Nice. All right. Next, third place, we've got I Need Your Clothes, Your Boots, and Your Motorcycle. Gretchen's prediction with 54 points, just 1 point ahead.
Yeah. And in second place, we have Patrick with Fast and Fury Road. He has 55 points. But so again, everything's really close in this, in this part, except when we get into first place, who jumps 4 points ahead. So with 59 points, and in first place is Jason again.
Da, 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 da. Only one I missed this week was John Wick, which I'm feel pretty good about, because I think it was pretty reasonable to think John Wick would win there.
Yeah.
Keep it rolling. I do want to just quickly point out before we get to me do more basking in that first place position. You mentioned, Pal, that you're only 4 points. You're in 10th, and Paul is in 4th, and you're only 4 points behind. Not only that, your potential points, you know, the thing that it does, the score potential, is, I believe, exactly the same as Paul's.
Nice. Both
177.
Yeah, so, I got one matchup where both of the... I've got both of them wrong, so no matter who wins out of who is it?
Nice.
It's
Bourne
Ultimatum versus Speed. Is that right?
Yeah, I think those two are happening. Or happened. Or
oh no, Bourne Ultimatum. I'm looking at my own prediction where I've got the wrong things. So I thought it was going to be Bourne Ultimatum versus Fast Five, but neither of those are actually.
Casino Royale is there now instead, I believe.
Right. Casino Royale versus Mission Impossible Rogue Nation.
Oh, yeah. Rogue Nation.
Oh, man. Yeah. I picked Bourne Ultimatum over Rogue Nation. That was terrible. Okay.
So, yeah. You know, the first place person's score potential is 187. So
that's nice. First place person.
Boo. Also, I think this is the first time that probably someone who was the first place in the first round remained first place in the second round.
Yeah, frequently not the case. That's
true. Yeah. So
we'll see
good
if
job.
He keeps it up.
Yeah. The pressure is on. So next round, which matches are the ones to watch out for? Paul.
So I'm thinking Bourne Identity versus Speed seems like a really close one. That I don't know how that's going to go, because they both did pretty well last round. Bourne Identity won 28-2 over Top Gun, and Speed won 22-7 over Predator. So my guess is Bourne Identity is going to take it, but I think it might be close.
Yeah, I would vote for Bourne Identity. I will vote for it. Jace.
Yeah, the Missions Impossible, all three of them, are up against some heavy hitters. Yeah, they're up against Aliens, The Matrix, and Casino Royale.
Mm-hmm.
Casino Royale's taken out some heavy hitters already along its path. The Matrix obviously blew out, completely shut out Gladiator. And Aliens is widely beloved and thought of as an action movie, you know, in the Alien as horror, Aliens as action type thing. So I think there's a chance we're sitting here next week with no Missions Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I also have Fallout versus Aliens in my list. I think, I still think maybe Fallout is going to win. But yeah, like Aliens is the first thing people tell you when they're like, I don't like Aliens because I don't like horror movies. No, but Aliens is an action movie.
Yep.
So I think it has a chance, but I still think Fallout, like, I don't know, it was so beloved. So I think it's still going to win. I don't know. And then the other one I have in the list is Terminator versus Edge of Tomorrow. I think probably, like, this is very hard for me personally to vote because we just rewatched Terminator with the kids, like, in December, and we loved it, like, all of us. I think I didn't realize how much I think Terminator is great, but I also love Edge of Tomorrow. So I have no idea how I'm going to vote. Me. Now, how the people are going to vote, I don't know either. I think probably Edge of Tomorrow, just because people are going to be like, oh, no, I'm doing the thing Jason says, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
People are going to be like, Terminator 2 is a good one. So maybe, I don't know. Following that logic that is mostly wrong all the time, I think Edge of Tomorrow might go through, but I don't know what I'm going to vote for.
I think Edge of Tomorrow has a very good chance of winning. I just don't think it will be because of that. It will just be because people really love it. They love the action in it, and they think of Terminator as potentially a little bit, I don't know, maybe not as, I don't know.
Not as good as the second one.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, who knows? But
yeah.
Great.
Okay. One last voting recommendation. Paul.
Yes, this is kind of what we were just talking about, but I'm recommending Edge of Tomorrow over Terminator. And I'm saying it's because Terminator 2 is better than Terminator. So so Terminator 2 will get through. Go for Edge of Tomorrow. It's awesome.
What is Terminator 2 going against?
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, yeah, it's going through.
Yeah.
For a second, I was like, what is it going against Mad Max Fury Road or something? Yeah. What about you, Jace?
No recommendations. Do what you want.
Follow your heart.
No one ever listens to us anyway.
I think they actively probably do exactly the opposite of whatever I say. So that's why I rethought whether I wanted to say anything. I should use that power for evil. And
yeah, exactly.
Recommend something I hate. Vote for Aliens.
Yeah, so my vote and recommendation is Fallout, which is going against Aliens. So I loved Fallout so much. I can't wait to rewatch it before the new one comes out. So, yes. Well, we're Fallout. And that's it. We're done.
Hooray.
Awesome.
Yay. Patrick, we missed you. Thank you for the voicemail. Paul, you were a good replacement.
Thanks, Pat.
Yes, thank you for joining.
Thanks for having me.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Yay, we did it.
Oh, let me stop recording so that we don't use up our minutes.
Ooh, Casper Brood 1.